Feeling run down, restless, or like your body just won't switch off? Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers features 7 forms of bioavailable magnesium to support sleep, recovery, and your body's stress response. And now there's Magnesium Breakthrough Advanced 10, their most complete formula yet, featuring 10 bioavailable forms of magnesium, plus active vitamin B6 and ionic trace materials to support uptake. Head to bioptimizers.com and use code MFM for 15% off your order. That's bioptimizers.com. Code MFM.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your romantasy podcast book club. I'm Anna, joined by my book besties, Kim and Christina. And together, we're diving into the characters, theories, lore, and magic behind all your favorite fantasy romance books. All right, listeners, we are so excited to be back because this is what we do best, and that is theories.
Yeah.
And my God, are we excited to be here to discuss some more ACOTAR theories in the lead up to ACOTAR 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm just beyond thrilled. We have some really, really fun ones today.
Mm-hmm.
But before we give our official spoiler warning, Christina has a few announcements.
I sure do. Book besties, September is a big month over on Patreon. We have got new chapter chats for The Knave and the Moon by Rachel Gillig. You guys know we have been so, so thrilled to bring you these. Anna and Kim are so excited to jump into Knave and the Moon season with you guys over on Patreon exclusively. And if you are new to chapter chats, think of them as our spoiler-filled chapter-by-chapter book club where we read the book along with you. We break down all the reveals and theories and our feelings as we go. We're stopping every few chapters so you get our real-time theories and spirals, and it is just so much fun. We're so excited to bring you that this month over on Patreon. Plus, we have a brand new mass masterclass for you all about the Valkyries. Oh, and there's a lot to break down, especially given our new titles for ACOTAR 6 and 7. So that will be coming your way on Patreon exclusively for Tier 2, as well as a book chat on Beneath by Arielle Sullivan. This one is extra special for us. We have been saving this because we love, love, love to conform. And we are actually moderating an event with Arielle Sullivan herself later this month in New York City to celebrate the paperback release of Conform. So this is really turning into a wonderful Arielle Sullivan month for us. We're so excited to read Beneath and bring you that book chat over on Patreon. That will be for both tiers. And as always, patrons get main feed episodes a day early, ad-free, and video episodes. So come join the party. Come join our Patreon family at patreon.com/flightsoffantasypodcast. We cannot wait to see you there. And speaking of patrons, Kim, let's shout out some very important people.
Let's do. So one of the many benefits of being one of our tier two book bitches is that you get a special shout out in one of our episodes. So in this episode, we are going to be shouting out Katie C., Rachel D., and Emily Jane Smith. Thank you guys so, so much for supporting us on Patreon and making it possible to do this. We are so thankful and we love you guys so, so much.
Yes, thank you guys.
Thank you, thank you. Sending you all a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
Woo. Okay, Anna, let's do spoiler warning.
Spoilers from here on out for the entire Mass verse. Throne of Glass, Crescent City, and of course, A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yep.
Let's go. Christina, kick us off with the very first theory, please.
Yes, Christina.
God, I am just so excited. Ooh, Nelly. All right, friends. If you did not catch our emergency episode discussing the blurbs, discussing the covers, this is your reminder to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
In that episode, I did tease a dissertation on my thoughts on Striga, and here it is. Everybody get ready.
Woo!
Strigs with a Z. Here we go. Buckle up.
Yes, you must refer to her as Strigs with a Z. That is very, very important.
And I'm going to say her name a lot, so I'm not going to do it every time, but just know if I don't, that's what I mean. Okay?
Got it.
In my heart, she strikes with a Z and will forever be strikes with a Z. Okay, everybody, here's my question for you all. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could Striga have actually been Val? And therefore, is Koschei Valg?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we know them all as death gods, okay? But the death god term is actually a Prithian term. It tells us how the people of this world understood and worshipped them. It does not necessarily tell us what they actually are. Mm. So here's what we canonically know. We have the Bone Carver, his twin sister, Striga, aka the Weaver, aka Strig with a Z, and their older brother, Koschei. The Bone Carver tells us that all three of them, quote, fell into this world, all before Prithian, before the land was carved up and any High Lord was crowned. We also know when they arrived, the ancient Fae feared and worshipped Striga and Koschei, until eventually a very important unnamed ancient female Fae warrior tricked Striga into diminishing her power and confined her to the middle, and also bound Koschei to his lake. Okay, all important facts. Are you with me still? And the Bone Carver had already at this point voluntarily sought out confinement in the prison himself because he was hiding from his scary siblings. But interesting to note here that the ancient Fae warrior could not kill Striga or Koschei. The Bone Carver tells us they were too strong. They could only be contained. And here is how the Bone Carver describes his family. What a family they are. They are death gods, girl. Dot, dot, dot. But my siblings and I, dot, 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 we are different. And the two of them, dot, 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 stronger. So much stronger than I ever was. So three of them related, immensely powerful beings from another world who arrived in Prithian and were subsequently regarded as gods. But we don't know their species. We don't know their home world. We don't know what they were before the Fae started calling them death gods. Okay? Now I want to take you to these covers. This decision with the covers is mighty interesting, friends, because our working theory here is that each cover is pointing us toward one of these siblings. With Akatar 8, ultimately, we think going to be having Koschei on the cover. But what's interesting here is why she's doing this. Why build these covers around Koschei's dead siblings? What is the purpose of this? Mm. So keep that in mind, book besties. Mm-hmm. Because we also know nothing, basically, about Koschei, except that he's our new big bad. But you know what we do know about? His sister. And therefore, I think she might be some of our best evidence of figuring out what Koschei actually is, and therefore how to defeat him. Mm. And that is why Forgotten Melody actually maybe is absolutely covered in Weaver imagery and is talking about girl Striga with a Z. So let's talk about her, okay? Let's talk about Striga.
Okay.
Because when we deep dive this woman, there is a lot to discuss. So first things first, Striga was a queen. We know that. Canonically, she was a queen.
Wow.
The Bone Carver compares Nesta to her, saying that Nesta is a queen as my sister once was. A queen of what? That's what I'm here to ask. A queen of who?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, Striga herself corroborates this in a fascinating way, because right before the King of Hybern kills her, quote unquote, still think maybe she's alive, but we'll go with that for a moment.
Show me the body.
So right before King of Hybern kills her, this is what the King of Hybern says. How beautiful you are. How magnificent, ancient one. And Striga then brushes her dark hair over her shoulder and replies, you may bow, king, as it was once done. So in what scenario was this once done? This ancient queen who remembers kings bowing to her.
Yeah.
Fae kings bowing to her.
Ooh.
As a queen.
It's giving God.
Right.
Well, or Val, gotta keep on track, okay?
Well, Val, God, to me, that's the same. To me, they're just evil gods.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Now we're going to move into receipts, friends. So receipts that Striga is Valg, number one. Here we go.
Let's do it.
The mirrors. Friends, do you remember these mirrors? Because I have a lot to say about them now. So the Bone Carver tells us this. My sister had a collection of mirrors in her black castle. We don't know any other black castle besides Morath, but moving on. Huh. She admired herself day and night in those mirrors, gloating over her youth and beauty. There was one mirror, the Ouroboros, she called it. It was old even when we were young, a window to the world. All could be seen, all could be told through its dark surface. A window to the world, you say? Let's go to Throne of Glass. In Kingdom of Ash, Dorian asks Maeve this. It's possible to show a different world? Dorian asked Maeve when they were again in their tower room. Maeve slid into a chair, her face distant. Using mirrors, Yes. Bone Carver says a window to the world. Maeve says witch mirrors can show a different world.
Wow.
But we're tying it back to Valg here. Do you guys remember that witch mirrors are basically Valg magic?
Mm-hmm.
Because to what Maeve says here about using mirrors, Dorian lifts a brow and Maeve responds, "You have seen yourself the power of witch mirrors, what it did to Aelin Galathinius and Menon Blackbeak. Who do you think taught the witches such power? Not the Fae." A small laugh. "And how do you think I have been able to see so far? Hear the voices of my eyes," her spiders, "all the way from Dorinel. There are mirrors to spy, to travel, to kill." So witch mirrors are Valg mirrors. They are not just for witches.
Wow. Yeah.
And she says witch mirrors are Valg power. And even now, Erewhon wields them to his advantage with the Iron Teeth.
Right, right, right.
With the witch towers. They are a Valg power, guys.
Wow.
So it's very fair to call witch mirrors at least Valg associated.
Sure.
Because this Valg derived magic within the mirrors.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
And we have Striga owning these magical mirrors in her black castle.
Yeah.
A coincidence? Well, who's to say?
Maybe.
Not you until the end. You can say at the end if you think it's a coincidence.
Okay.
Receipt number two. Striga eats life. Friends, this is what the Bone Carver tells us about Striga. "My sister, she found a way to eat life itself, to stay young and beautiful forever, thanks to the lives she steals." She's not just killing people. She's literally taking their life
mm-hmm.
and converting it into her own youth.
Yeah.
Go with me here.
Yeah.
We're going to go back to Kingdom of Ash when we learn, this is a quote, "Stygian spiders are Valg." Also a quote, "Stygian spiders feed on dreams and years and life." Also Valg, feed on people. They feed on all of that as well.
Yeah.
Aelin, in this moment, thinks that she had seen Valg princes drain a human of every last drop of youth and vigor and leave only a dried corpse behind. Leaving only a dried corpse behind, you say? Jumping back to Akamor.
Amazing.
Quote, "For on the other side of the Carver, leaving husks of corpse in her wake, Draga shredded through Hybern in a tangle of black hair and white limbs."
Oh my god.
She is so terrifying.
So not only is she ingesting people to stay young,
yeah,
she also is leaving them as dried corpses
with the Z.
Yeah, with a Z. For her it is. Okay, but dried corpses, i.e. husks.
Whoa.
But we're not done. We're not done.
We're not done.
That's crazy.
I can't breathe, Christina. Hold on.
Yeah. That's crazy about the spiders, though. I didn't realize they were described as doing that.
I know.
Yeah. That's insane.
And where do we find out about the spiders? In Tower of Dawn that everybody wants to skip. That's all I'm going to say.
Bam.
I don't understand how you can skip that book, but that's not a story for today.
Story for another time.
Because that is itself its own dissertation. Absolutely. And we will scream that from the rooftops the second someone gives us a platform to do so. We're going to talk now about the spider imagery, Kim. Great call out here. Because maybe you're sitting here thinking, but what does this have to do with Stygian spiders? Because Sarah literally describes Striga as a spider, friends, when Feyre is trapped in the chimney in Akamath. Striga is climbing after her, and Feyre thinks she'd climb up like a spider, like I was a fly in her web. A spider, again.
I hate this.
Striga's known as a weaver. We're spinning. Spider, okay?
Yeah, weaving. Mm-hmm.
And we know that the Stygian spiders are Valg. I'm going to take you to Tower of Dawn, Kim. Get ready.
Yes! Take me there, baby. Take me.
Aw, Kim. Just for Kim.
In Tower of Dawn, this is an amazing call out texted to me yesterday by Trisha. This is how Yureen talks about Hale's wound from the Valg, healing it.
Okay.
This is how Yureen describes this. Quote, "The blackness retreated, a spider scuttling into a shadowed corner." Why does Sarah keep using spider imagery for the Valg?
Wow.
Great question. Now, I leave you with my last receipt here. And that is that Striga bleeds black blood, friends. Do we remember when Feyre hit Striga in the face in Akamath?
No.
Oh, God. You don't want to, but I'm going to make you.
Okay.
So, quote, "Bone crunched and she roared, black blood spraying." Listeners, if you are unaware, black blood is repeatedly associated with the Valg. The Valg princes bleed black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Valg creatures bleed black. Maeve, quote, "has black blood as dark as night."
Mm-hmm.
So, I really think there is a chance that our resurrecting former alliances could literally mean that somehow we're resurrecting Striga and the Bone Carver to understand what we're up against with Koschei. They were allies in the war.
Mm, right.
So if we are resurrecting them, mm-hmm. we're like, hey, can you give us a little more background? Like, who are you? What are you? And we figure out that information from them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, perchance, in Forgotten Melody,
yeah.
when our inner circle disperses far and wide,
right.
looking for an advantage against Koschei, what they're looking for is information or something having to do with defeating the Val.
Yeah.
And that the Stygian spiders are maybe still around. They're world walking. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
But I am curious if this is what we're doing here and that they're all going to somehow be uh-huh. Valg. And that's where the Stygian spider tie-in and everything is with Striga.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Oh my gosh.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero pain au chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Christina.
I was like, so is there more?
Because take us somewhere else.
I actually do have one more thing. I wasn't going to say this part, but I will now. If you're wondering about the Bone Carver, don't worry. I have thought of that as well.
Oh.
And if we think about the fact that the Bone Carver has this physical form that basically shapeshifts to whatever the person who is looking at him wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is it the exact same as Maeve being able to remake her form? No.
Mm.
But it is really interesting that he is not merely just shapeshifting into one thing.
Right.
It is different. It's not Tamlin just being able to shapeshift into his beast. We never actually learn what the Bone Carver's true physical form is.
Right.
And if we go to Kingdom of Ash, Maeve explains that Valg bodies actually have souls that are a tangible thing. And mm-hmm. unlike humans, they wear these basically appearances of a person, like clothing or jewelry.
They can shed it.
Mm.
They're putting this on.
Got it.
And in that conversation, Maeve actually has the quote, "I suppose that makes us shapeshifters too." So I do think there's something there.
Huh.
Don't spiders have a life cycle where they shed as well?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. I know snakes do.
Oh, actual spiders, not Stygians. Got it.
Oh, sorry. You mean in this world?
In Spider-Man.
Oh, take us there. Go.
Yes, tell us.
In the Marvel Universe, he does shed. He grows. His body changes.
He does?
Yes. It's in the new one, Christina.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it.
And he was learning about spiders that talks about how spiders go through metamorphosis to shed.
Oh.
And if the Stygian spiders can metamorphosize and shed, is that the Valg?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Well, that's fascinating.
She wears bodies like clothing that feels like a metamorphosis of a way.
I love it. Metamorphosis, put it down for the next theories episode. We'll do a deep dive. But I also think it is interesting to note here when we're talking about the spiders that we have to mention Serene, which is a Stygian spider who basically made a bargain to be able to appear as a woman for 20 years. And in that, she's ingesting power as well from people.
Oh.
Huh. That's a very interesting character that people forget about.
Who?
What's her name?
It's C-Y-R-E-N-E.
Serene.
I say Serene.
This is from what series?
Throne of Glass.
Got it.
Never read it.
Haven't heard of it. Must be an indie thing. Must be just published on some website.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It's fanfic.
That is fascinating, Christina.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh my God.
I'm down.
Thank you. Thank you.
I absolutely love this.
Yeah.
I really think the thing that sold me the most
besides the black blood, because I mean, you can't say that to us as a fandom and us not think about it.
Oh, no.
But also the dried corpses, the dried husks, all of that.
Yeah.
I also really think that there's no reason to put the other death gods on the cover unless it's going to be helpful with Koshe.
Mm.
We have to be able to figure out something from them.
Yeah.
And what they were to clue us to Koshe. And the fact that we know nothing about Koshe, but we do know this stuff about the two of them, this just makes sense that this is where we're going to go for research, and therefore where we are going for research as the PhDs.
Absolutely. Yes, we must follow the text.
Yes.
I'm so glad you guys liked that. That was my dissertation.
Well done.
Thank you. I did at certain points go down far and wide rabbit holes where there are people in the fandom who discuss that perchance the Weaver Striga is Maeve. Canonically, timeline-wise, that doesn't really work out. I think there's a stronger case for Maeve actually being Vesperus.
Fascinating.
But I actually don't think that Sarah would do either, because then that really takes away from the moment of Maeve dying. I think that takes away from that gravitas. And if we remember, she's beheaded with a sword stabbed through her skull. I mean, but again, according to Crescent City, there's no rule.
There are theories out there who believe that Maeve did not actually die. I feel like this is the one time where I'm like, I think she's dead.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of actually in the text that would be a clue that she is alive is that when we look at how Yreen cured all of her other Valg patients, you can say, when she got the Valg out of Kale and from the princess and all of that, there is kind of a shadowy whisper of black that comes out of them. And we didn't see that come out of Maeve, is my only possible thing I could believe that she's still alive. But again, I do think that she is dead. I'm just saying that are really interesting theories, if anyone is curious to look around on the interwebs, that Maeve is actually Vesperus. They are described the exact same way.
Ooh.
They're also described the same way as Striga. They all have black hair. They all have moon white, very pale skin. And Vesperus and Maeve specifically are really, really described very similarly. And we do have a note of Vesperus climbing out of her little sarcophagus, hatching a spider. So
she does.
Interesting to note.
Sarah.
The spider imagery here is just...
Okay, enough of me. Let's go, Kim.
Okay, so speaking of Koshe, do I have a theory for you today? Is Koshe the Deathless from ACOTAR potentially also the astronomer from Crescent City?
I love this. I'm already locked in.
Love it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I do want to give a credit to Emily's theories. This was in one of her posts that she did, and then I, too, took it and spiraled to just an insane level, and I will try to reel it in, but this is fascinating to think about. Quick reminder, we've talked about Koshe. We have an Everything You Need to Know About Koshe episode, so if you want all the background info on him, please go listen to that. I'm going to do a just sentence recap for you really quickly. Koshe is an immortal sorcerer. I want you to pin that word, okay? He's related to Striga, all that. So we know he's confined to a mountain lake on the continent. He is responsible for cursing Vasa the Firebird to that same lake. Let's go to Crescent City, Book 2, House of Sky and Breath. Wow, rereading this was a time. I was like, did I read this book? Did I recall any of this information? No, but it was really fun to reread. So
yes.
Bryce goes with Ethan and Therian, what a crew, to meet with the astronomer. They are going to try and contact and see if Connor is in hell or not. If you remember that plot from book two.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't. I was like, what are we doing here? Oh, okay. Got it. We are going to contact Connor to see if he's in hell. Sure.
I feel like whenever we try to contact the dead.
No, it does not go well.
You know, it's like that meme that you see. It's like, so we didn't learn.
I mean, Ethan and Therian are probably the greatest example of so we didn't learn.
House of Many Waters, Therian, you need to sit down, son. We're done.
Therian needs to pick a seat and don't give anybody any vials.
If you do, give them a sturdy bag. Give them a sturdy strap.
Structured, okay? Nothing soft where things can jangle about.
No.
Yeah. Let's invest.
Give them a bog bag.
But it needs to zip.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. A zippable bog bag.
Sure. We could do that. We could custom make it.
Yeah.
So Bryce goes to meet the astronomer with Ethan and Therian, and this is when she finds out about the mystics and how the astronomer is basically exploiting them. He has them in these tanks, and they are in this water. They have to put salt in it, and they are transporting through all of these worlds for him and reporting back. When Bryce meets this astronomer, it is implied that he has another name. He says, "Some people call me the astronomer." Bryce replies, "What do other people call you?" And he just doesn't answer. He's like, anyway. So I just want to look really quickly at some similarities between the astronomer and Koschei.
Wow.
So this is how the astronomer is described. An elderly man with a heavy white beard and wispy long hair is giving Dumbledore. Koschei in mythology is depicted as an elderly man with a long beard and hair.
Shut up.
Yeah, I know. I understand that in ACOTAR so far, we have not seen Koschei in this form, but we do know that he literally just appears as illusions to everybody that sees him. Very similar to the Bone Carver, right? Nobody really knows Koschei's true form. We, the readers, don't know. But in mythology, and we know that Sarah has pulled so much from mythology, he is depicted the exact same way as the astronomer. Next up, the astronomer keeps Ariadne. Remember her?
Our dragon! Yes!
Remember the fire-breathing dragon shifter? And also fire sprites. He keeps them captive in a way, right?
I really hate that.
But don't worry, they get freed. I forgot, which was a really fun scene to read.
That was a fun reveal for you?
I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. So the astronomer has the dragon, and there's some interesting language about what he had to barter to get her and what kind of a reading he had to do. And Ariadne was very shifty about it, which could this come up again? I don't know. And of course, we know Koschei keeps Vasa, a firebird, by his lake along with many other girls. I'm putting that in quotes. So we know that the astronomer houses mystics. Like I just said, they are submerged in tubs of water. Koschei keeps women submerged in water at his lake. Could those women potentially be his mystics? Is that why he keeps these girls at the lake in this body of water, very similar to the astronomer?
I really like this a lot. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially if we're doing all of these little crossovers and if creatures are from one world, but also in this world, how many astronomers...
I like that better.
It's been a long day. How many astronomers could there be? Could Koschei?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So remember how I said to Pin that Koschei is a sorcerer? This is what one of the fire sprites says about the astronomer. We were re-spelled by the astronomer. He's an ancient sorcerer. Don't let him deceive you with that feeble act. Y'all fact check me really quick. But remember when Koschei took the form of that old woman in Akasoff? Or was that Briallen?
Koschei didn't take any forms, I don't think.
Who was that creature that led them to the lake?
So it was basically an illusion of Briallen.
Okay.
They thought it was Briallen, but then actually turns out she was across the lake with him.
Yeah.
Like he pretty much transported her.
So remember in Akasoff,
yeah,
when there was that illusion of the old woman and the old woman got Cassian and Azrael to follow her to the lake, and that's when Koschei appears. We know Koschei appears as illusions.
Yeah.
The fire sprite is saying, don't let him deceive you with that feeble act. He's an ancient sorcerer, which is exactly how Koschei is described.
I love that.
Pin this at the end of my theory. This is making me excited.
Oh, Pin. So if Koschei is keeping those women at his lake as mystics, aka beings who can basically astral project and communicate across worlds, then could Koschei potentially be communicating with someone in the multiverse?
Ooh!
Anything is possible.
So let's go to one of Elaine's visions about Koschei. Will I hear earworms writhing through the soil or the stretching of roots? Will the bird of fire come to sit in the trees and watch me? We know the bird of fire is obviously Vasa. So is Elaine seeing a vision of herself trapped by Koschei at the lake in view of Vasa?
Oh.
Like she's seeing herself like this bird is watching me.
But she's like with the worms?
Yeah.
Underwater maybe in this lake?
Oh, interesting.
Christina, this isn't going to do well for your claustrophobia.
Nope.
I know. It's rough, but we know that Elaine is a seer.
Wow.
And therefore very similar to a mystic. She tracked the Suriel's location across the land as well as the cauldron. Yep. And remember what happened when she found the cauldron? Hibern was able to kidnap Elaine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Will the same thing happen with Koschei? Will she be trying to track Koschei and alert him? And then she gets kidnapped and taken to the lake. And then Vasa is there with her.
Oh my God. Wild.
I went back and reread the whole scene with Bryce and the astronomer. This is what the astronomer says. He has three mystics currently in the tank. And he says, this trio was a good one. I've had them for a while now with no issues. The last group, one drifted too far. Too far and for too long, they dragged the others with them. Such a waste. Like, where did they go?
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. That's in Hosab or Hofas?
Hosab, book two.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that.
Fascinating.
I don't know. They dragged the others with them to where?
And if they're seeing other worlds,
Exactly.
That gives us the inclination that they can escape. That actually, if they drift too far and go too far, there's a limit to how far they can go.
Right.
And if they go past that, then they're actually out of his control. He can't rein them back in.
Yep.
It's almost as if they kind of figured out an escape and then pulled the other two with them.
Mm.
Those people would be mighty motivated to get back at him if he is Koshe.
Right.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. I have no idea if this is going to come back up. But this is what the astronomer says, and I thought this was so fascinating. The mystics made the first star maps. They charted more extensively than anyone had before. In the Eternal City, I heard they have 1,000 mystics in the palace catacombs, mapping farther and farther into the cosmos, speaking with creatures we shall never know.
That's eerie. Also, those poor people. That's a lot.
1,000 mystics mapping further and further into the cosmos, speaking with creatures we shall never know.
Wow.
I feel like under Koshe, Elaine could be forced to mystic seer travel somewhere. Maybe to hell? Maybe to Terrasen? I don't know!
Wow!
I love this, Kim.
Mystics and seers in these two series are described so similarly. And I know Elaine is not in a tank.
Yeah.
She's not a mystic right now, but she is a seer. And I do just think it's so interesting, the comparisons between the astronomer and Koshe, and that Koshe has women trapped, the astronomer has. They're described as not male and not female. They're just kind of a non-sexual, just like a figure in the tank. But we know that the astronomer is absolutely exploiting them. Bryce kind of explains that they are always poor and they're taken in, and the astronomer says, I'll take care of you, I'll care for you, and then they get trapped.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I have this vivid memory also of people selling their kids. Wasn't there a thing where if you were poor, you could give one of your children and then they would get paid handsomely?
I believe so, yes.
It was dark.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fire dragon was sold to the astronomer because he did a reading for somebody.
Yeah.
And
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAP sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero pain au chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
And they're talking to Ariadne about it. They're like, wow, that must have been some reading. And she kind of just nods and is like, yeah, it was. She's very shifty. That character is very mysterious.
Where is she? What is happening?
I don't know. She says little to nothing about it, but yeah. I thought that was very interesting. So I feel like there is a chance that Elaine could become trapped by Koshe. She's working on mastering her seer abilities, and she goes too far, similar to like she did with the cauldron, and she gets kidnapped in the lake with Koshe and like Vasa, because a lot of her visions have come true.
Yes, absolutely. I think that really something I'd be excited to do is to go back and really pinpoint every single vision to make sure we've seen them all, because The only things I can think of we haven't seen are this with the Firebird sitting and watching her, as well as the Feather of Fire landing on snow. I'd really like to go back and make sure I'm correct in that those are the only two we haven't seen, but it is absolutely pointing us to the fact that Vasa and Elaine are going to maybe be working together, maybe be together in some fashion in this, and Vasa is tied to Koshe. Shite in that lake, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he calls his bargain back in and brings her back. But yeah.
If he can figure out the whole kidnapping thing where he's actually just letting her go and do whatever she wants, but she's tied to the lake. Again, he needs to watch some true crime documentaries. This isn't really how you kidnap somebody, but
yeah,
it's fine.
And there's a reason.
She clearly found some sort of loophole. You know, you don't make a bargain with the Fae.
Well, no, Papa Archeron found a loophole.
Right.
True. It must have been like, she's going to come help us. And there wasn't an end point in that bargain.
But why would Koshe let her do that?
I know.
He's letting her do it on purpose, for sure. He somehow can see through her eyes. I think there's no way that this eternal end-all be-all villain of all the books is like, whoopsie-doo, that didn't really clock for me. I missed it.
It reminds me of Maeve and the blood bargains and how Lorcan was able to twist what his actions were if he could somehow manipulate what he thought. It was somehow helping Maeve.
Okay, yeah.
Even though he didn't have to return to check in with her because he was able to be like, no, this is for her if I just think of it this way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Vaughn hasn't checked in.
Well.
Sarah forgot about Vaughn.
Poor Vaughn.
Where in the world is Vaughn? We don't know. Oh, that's so interesting. I could see that. I agree that I think there's just so much potential here with Elaine being a seer, and it just seems very similar to these mystics, and I don't know.
I think what's really standing out to me here is the fact that he has girls, they're called, in the lake, in water, and that the astronomer has girls in water. I think that clearly Koshe is using them for a reason.
Right.
We're trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really interesting avenue of potentially why.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay. So Anna, tell us your theory.
Oh my gosh, guys. I am so excited for this today because if you have been listening to our episodes since we have covered Hofast, you know that I personally have an obsession with figuring out how these worlds overlap and how Sarah is ultimately going to tie it all together. In our past episodes before CC3 came out, I did an entire breakdown on this Ragnarok theory and how that could possibly tie into a possible fourth Crescent City book. We have talked about Irelia and how it was the past and Crescent City Midgard was the future. The amount of times that my theories about how these worlds interconnect have changed is insane, but that's because every time Sarah gives us a new book, my theories have to evolve. All of our theories have to evolve, right? Because we get more information. But I am really excited about this one because I feel like this is where my love for all three series might actually come together and how Sarah is creating this larger universe and how the worlds will ultimately connect as one. I still think they're overlapping. So here is the theory that I'm bringing you guys today. We know that the prison island, aka the former Dust Court, in Prithian and Avalon over in Midgard are connected in some way through thin places, right? It is canon that there are places where the veil between worlds is thinner, and Hofast gives us a connection between. Sorry in advance, listeners, if you hear a little thunder in the background.
Anna's really setting the scene.
It's just atmospheric.
She's in tune with Mother Nature and she's like, let's go.
All right. So like I was saying, it is canon that there are places where the veil between worlds is thinner, and Hofast gives us that connection specifically between prison and Avalon. So my question is, why would Sarah stop there? Obviously, right? She has three series. There are three islands. So if there is a corresponding place in Prithian and a corresponding place in Midgard, wouldn't there also be one in Throne of Glass? Okay. Now, Sarah has repeatedly given us the imagery of three interlocking circles across the Massverse, all right? Now, what if they are not just imagery, but three representing three worlds, right? We've talked about the Maid, the Mother, the Crone, and that. But what if it's actually representing her three series and three worlds? Okay, so bear with me here.
Okay.
We already know what two of the circles would be, the Prison Island and Avalon, but we would need a third in Throne of Glass. But before we go visit Irelia, we need to have a little chat about my girl, Meryl.
Oh!
Meryl!
Because you know my obsession.
Oh, we love Meryl.
God, she's got to be important, guys.
She simply must.
I mean, I refuse to believe that Sarah is not going to make her important at this point.
Same.
And I will die on that hill, and I will be really sad if I'm wrong.
Same.
We're planting our flag.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Meryl.
If you remember, back in Hofast, Meryl is obsessed with studying the existence of different realms. We've spoken ad nauseum about this and how her research is into how different worlds could essentially exist one on top of the other and without everybody else realizing it, right? And if you haven't listened to our masterclass, I highly suggest you go and listen to the one on overlapping worlds where we really break this down. But essentially, Meryl believes that these different worlds could coexist, right, in this overlapping, interconnected way. Which again brings me back to the interlocking circles which mm-hmm. are interconnected, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we also know that from HoFest, there are certain locations where, like we said, the boundaries between worlds appear weaker, right?
Yeah.
And then Bryce physically leaves Midgard and goes to Prithian. It's not technically from Avalon to Midgard, but it is when she is beneath the prison island and discovers the true history that we learn from Selene and Vesperus that we get confirmation that Avalon is one of those places and prison island is one of those places, right? She literally talks about how the mist and the veil between worlds is thin at both of those locations. That's canon.
Yeah.
Now this brings me back to my original question, which is what is the third island? So we're going to take a little field trip.
Woo! Let's go.
Over to Aurelia in Throne of Glass, specifically to Doranelle. Now, we talk about this in our theories episode, again, way back before Crescent City. We do a whole deep dive on Doranelle and Aurelia and break down the geography, how it's described, and all of that. So I'm going to remind you a little bit on Doranelle. This is the Fae stronghold in Aurelia. This is where Maeve ruled for a very, very, very long time. And I want to remind you how it's described. First of all, it's an island, just like Avalon, just like the prison. Doranelle is a massive island surrounded by rivers. It's described as having waterfalls that send mist into the city, throughout the city, and make the rooftop glisten. Now, I'm sorry, but the imagery is too much here. We've got mist, we have waters, we've got islands. We know Sarah, we know that she is so specific with her words. And take this one step further, Doranelle is the Fae stronghold in Aurelia, just like Avalon is the Starborn Fae stronghold in Midgard. And the prison, aka the Dust Court, is where the Starborn Fae originate from.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have three places, Doranelle and Aurelia, Avalon and Midgard, and the Dust Court in Prithian.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Okay, so I don't know if you guys can see this.
I sure can.
Can you see my little...
She's got props, baby. She's got props.
If you're just listening to this and not watching it, you're really missing out.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, we have Doranelle.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
We have the prison island, and we have Avalon, okay?
Okay.
Yes.
Three interconnecting places.
Yep.
So when you put that all together, you have exactly what Meryl was studying, right? Overlapping worlds, thin places and boundaries between them that weaken, that allow for people to pass through possibly. And I really feel like that if we're going to go with the imagery of the islands, and it's interesting that they're all islands. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that makes me really think that Doranelle could be this third location.
Yeah.
But it really feels like if we are setting up, and Christina has talked about with the Stygian spiders and the cover art and, you know, the astronomer and how that is possibly a cachet and tied to Midgard, it just really feels like we're slowly starting to now connect the world to Throne of Glass in a way that could then potentially be very, very important. Questions?
I also think it's very interesting that Doranelle is Maeve's stronghold, where Maeve world walked. She world walked from her original world there. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we know that is a place, that is a thin place that she world walked to. That is her stronghold where she landed.
Mm.
Thank you, Christina.
And therefore, I think we have from the text a clue that that is a thin place already. That that is where she walked through. That's where she already world walked.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we don't know specifically that's where she landed, but that's where she developed her stronghold. So I think it's very safe to assume that's where she landed when she world walked.
Yes.
In the first place.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. Because she's been tricking everybody. Okay. So two more things here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have looked up three interlocking circles in Throne of Glass and I have done my due diligence. I have not found that specifically. However, I'm going to do a little abstract art here.
Oh, fun.
Yay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Take us.
So when you are looking at the diagram, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We have three interlocking circles and then that creates this weird little amalgamation of other interlocking circles. Okay.
Right.
Now there are no three interlocking circles, but we do have the Eye of Elaena. And the Eye of Elaena is a series of interlocking circles. It's just is not described exactly as this. However, this is really small. If you are looking at it,
ooh,
it is circles with a little eye in the middle, which kind of looks like that to me.
Wow. It does.
I love that. Yes.
Wow.
It's also an amulet. Bryce has her Arkesian amulet, which is three interlocking circles. And the fact that the bone carver, who we have all just discussed, has the ability to have some sort of foresight, right? He looks like Nyx. You know, he gives cryptic messages. He knows things on a different plane, right?
Yep.
Like on a different level than everybody else.
He came from another world.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's a world walker.
He drew three interlocking circles in the dirt, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yes. He drew the three interlocking circles. We have the Arkesian amulet, which is three interlocking circles. We have the eye Eye of Elena, which is a bunch of interlocking circles.
Guys, come on. That's not a coincidence.
I love it.
I'm just saying, final little bonus theory here.
Okay.
Because like I said, I can't leave my girl Meryl alone. We shouldn't.
And we won't.
She needs us.
She does.
I do have to give a shout out to Emily's theories because as I was Googling theories, of course she pops up.
Yeah.
And she came up with this one and I absolutely ate it up.
Oh.
Because I have been trying to figure out, originally thought that Meryl was Jessica from Crescent City. And I feel like since the end of HoFest, that has been debunked.
Mm.
But I still think she's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with me here for a second. So Meryl is obviously the one studying overlapping worlds, right? Canon, okay? So let's remember how Meryl is described. Mm-hmm. She has silver hair. She also has twilight-colored eyes. Twilight, you say?
Twilight.
Like the dusk court?
I.e. dusk.
Oh!
Okay, so just put that on the evidence board for a second.
Okay.
So Meryl also goes on to give us a very specific information about her family lineage, which Christina, you have really talked about in another episode.
I have.
That she is descended from Rabith, Lord of the Western Wind.
Yep.
So we have silver hair, we have twilight covered eyes, and we have a family history of wind magic. Now I would like to introduce you to the new ruler of Dorinel. Okay? Maeve is gone. She's dead. Dorinel is now ruled by Rowan Whitethorn's cousin, and her name is Selene. S-E-L-L-E-N-E, which is, I'm so sorry, but very similar to the Selene that hologrammed and spoke to us for 200 pages.
Yes!
Yes!
In HoFest.
Uh-huh.
And also, as we all know, white thorns all have silvery white hair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Meryl has silvery white hair.
Right.
Her eyes are like a twilight dusk color. The fact that she is so interested in studying these overlapping worlds.
Yeah.
What if it's not just her theorizing? What if she's lived it?
Oh.
What if she came from Irelia?
Mm.
She is descended from Rabith, Lord of the Western Wind.
Yeah.
White thorns have wind magic.
Ah!
And she somehow bebopped from Irelia Dorinel over the prison island, is stuck in Prithian, and she's like, I'm researching the Great War, okay?
Yeah.
The Great War that happened over in TOG.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And she is stuck, and she's like, how do I get back?
Wait.
Yeah.
Also, this would fit with my Valg theory earlier, because if they're like, oh, what do you mean you're a Valg? What do we do with that? Meryl's like, I know, I've lived that too. Actually, I can tell you. Wow, this is fascinating.
Isn't that not insane?
Whoa. Yes.
Also, we talked about this again in a theories episode years ago. I was searching through some of our theories and I had to save notes. My outlines were so much thinner back in the day, so it's hard to dissect what I was trying to say. But there was one word and it was B-U-Y-I-O-N or something like that. B-U-N island.
Okay.
I must have talked about it in our theories episode, and it was when we were going through the geography of everything. And Buyan Island, which is in lore, an island shrouded in mist, and it's where Koschei resides. And it's where his box is hidden.
Oh, which well.
We've been like theorizing about the prison island possibly being that's where, you know, it is. But
yes.
Like, isn't that fascinating? So we've got lots of misty islands.
Mist.
Also, when I was rereading stuff for another episode that we're doing, I was rereading a lot of the hologram situation, spelunking. It is noted that Selene looks just like Rhysand's sister.
It does, yeah. Which is fascinating. Which makes sense because of lineage.
Oh, yeah.
Right. S-I-L-E-N-E looks, Asriel kind of like notes with sadness in his voice that Selene looks just like Rhysand's sister.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because she's like their great
grandmother or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
That is so wild.
But I did think it's really weird that we have a Selene Whitethorn ruling in Dorinel, and then there was a Selene.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a different way to pronounce the names.
No.
I cannot figure out a different way to pronounce them.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Sarah could have put any other name.
Any other name.
Why are they so similar? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's weird.
Oh, Anna, that's fascinating.
That's so fun, Anna.
I loved that.
Oh, I love that you got to do a Meryl theory. I'm so happy.
I love her. She might be a bitch, but she's my bitch.
With her twilight eyes. I'll take them any day. God.
Take it. Oh my God, that's fascinating. I love that. I'm totally here for that.
That is so much fun.
I think it'd be really cool.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Bite into a stacked sandwich made with Hero Bread or a fully loaded bagel. And the only thing you'll think is, delicious. You won't think it's up to 19 grams of protein, but it is. You wouldn't believe it has 11 to 32 grams of fiber, but it does. Hero Bread makes loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with taste, but without all the net carbs. We're talking 0 to 5 grams net carbs per serving. With Hero Bread, there are no compromises, just flavor. There's none of the stiff baked goods you'd expect from better-for-you brands. There's just the soft, fluffy bread you crave. Plus, small batch drops of indulgent favorites, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant and 3-gram net carb Hero Pain au Chocolat. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code IHEART at checkout. That's code IHEART at hero.co. All figures per serving of Hero Bread. See nutrition facts on hero.co.
Okay, Christina, I think you have one more theory for us.
I do. This is a wild card. I don't even know if I believe it, but it's so fun to think about. Okay, guys?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
This is a really silly, fun one to end on, okay?
Okay.
So, is Koshe actually Orcus? Orcus being Erewhon's brother, the Val King from Throne of Glass that we never actually killed, okay?
Yes, I'm on board with this. I actually think this could work.
Samesies.
I like this. I'm really excited about this. This came up when I was researching and I was like, I'm here.
I don't know who that is, but I'm excited to hear about it. Tell me, Christina, tell me.
Go, go, go.
I am so pumped about this. So, friendly reminder, Orcus is alive. Orcus is Erewhon's oldest brother. Okay? Now, for the sake of argument, let's say that you believe my first theory, okay? This helps here. And that they're not actually death gods and that they're Valg. So the next question is, what happened to the other brothers, Sarah? Erewhon died. Maeve died, depending on who you ask. And there are two Valg kings that Sarah very intentionally left alive and unresolved, friends.
Mm-hmm.
Orcus and Mantix. Literally, those are the big bad Valg kings that she just blatantly on page is like, well, they're worse than Erewhon ever was, and they're still out there. Anyways, let's move along. No, it's not resolved at all, okay?
They're not on Aurelia, though.
Yes, they were sent away. Okay, so Orcus is the oldest and strongest of the Valg kings. So let's start in Tower of Dawn. The Stygian Spider tells Nesrin the history of the Valg kings and Maeve, and is like, yes, there were three, Orcus, Mantix, Erewhon. When Maeve arrived in the Valg king world, all three kings desired her, but she chose Orcus because he's described as the eldest and the strongest. Again, little Bebop in here. Remember how Bone Carver described Koshe as so strong? Him and Striga were so much stronger than he ever was, all right? So we spend all of this time in Throne of Glass terrified of Erewhon. And then Sarah drops this absolutely unhinged piece of information that I completely forgot about, where Dorian says to Maeve, you make it sound as if he was the mildest of all three brothers. And Maeve said, he is. Orcus and Mantix are the ones who taught him all he knows. Should they return, what Erewhon creates in these mountains will seem like lambs. And then we just move along. It is so wild.
I remember us reading this when we did this for episodes.
Yes.
And we kind of felt bad for Maeve. We were like, maybe she should have left this abusive, weird psychopath.
Right, exactly.
But don't come here.
You can go anywhere else. It's just a very strange thread to leave dangling out there forever in this series, especially now we're potentially leading us back toward Val lore here. What is happening? Okay, where are Orcus and Mantix? This is very important. Orcus is alive. Orcus does not die in Throne of Glass. Mantix doesn't die either, but we're not thinking about him right now. Okay, so when the three Valg kings invade Aurelia, Maeve eventually steals the word keys. She succeeds in banishing Orcus and Mantix before Brannon takes the keys and prevents her from sending Erewhon away as well.
Right.
But Maeve also says herself, who knows what has occurred in their world in this millennia? Also leaving that unfinished, dangling that thread, Sarah Jubilee. Now, let's go back to Koshe and Orcus here. Orcus is a world walker. This is a very important parallel. Koshe is not from Prithian. He is also a world walker. Okay, the Bone Carver explicitly tells us they fell into this world before Prithian's current kingdoms existed. So Wherever Cochet originated, he crossed those worlds. He walked those worlds. He is also a world walker. Okay? Who can do that? Orcus.
Mm-hmm.
So after Maeve escaped the Valg world, escaped Orcus through the word gate, Orcus figures out how she did it.
Uh-huh.
He discovers how to control the gate. He created the word keys.
Right.
And then Orcus, Mantix, and Erewhon, quote, tore apart worlds searching for her. And now Cochet, this immortal warrior, is contained, and everything he does is geared toward getting free. His one objective, Vasa tells us, everything he does is to free himself.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite clue, though.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Okay.
So the name Orcus. Friends, Orcus is the name of an ancient Roman deity who is a god of the underworld, i.e. death, i.e. a death god.
Cochet the Deathless.
What?
Cochet is a death god.
Orcus.
Cochet also...
What?
Orcus. Cochet, this immortal being who also in folklore is difficult to reach and kill because he like exists outside his body and he's deathless.
Yep.
And Orcus is an ancient god of death and the underworld. And then Cochet drops down and this world is like, you're a death god. He's like, yep, that fits. I'm a death god.
Wow.
Oh my god.
That's me.
Also, let's look at when we see Cochet, right? So I want to compare Cochet to Val King situation here.
Oh god.
It's interesting because what we know from Maeve, okay, as I talked about earlier, is that Valg kings, i.e. Erewhon, they don't have a form. Uh-huh. She says, we are not like human and fae where our souls are invisible, unseen. Our souls have a shape to them. We have bodies that we can fashion around them, adorn them like jewelry. And then this is how we see Cochet. The being that stood atop the lake was a shadow. They could make out nothing of him beyond the shadows of his form. Sarah also tells us in Air of Fire that Valg princes are literally made of shadow and despair and hatred. And when Erewhon finally comes to Orinth,
hello,
what?
Darkness is swarming around him and he attacks, and Sarah describes answering waves of darkness. When he's angry, darkness physically flickers through the room. So we have Valg royalty who don't have a true physical form and whose power is described as shadow and darkness. And then we have Cochet, who appears only as a shadow and this vague shape of a male. And I love this idea.
Wow.
I will play devil's advocate. There are some holes in this theory, how the siblings would work theoretically, because okay, we know that Striga and Bone Carver are Cochet siblings, and we know that Orcus is Mantix and Erewhon's sibling. But these are, if this is true, he could have half siblings as well. I think that the way that Orcus and Mantix and Erewhon are described is in lore as the Valg King brothers. So that's not to say that then Bonecarver and Striga could have been Valg royalty under him, half sibling somewhere else. And maybe she was a Valg queen. Maybe Bonecarver was a prince. Who knows?
Right.
I think it still could work canonically, but that is something that I can't not say because people will be upset.
I have a question. Which one of them are twins?
Striga and the Bonecarver.
Okay, so that's good then, because that actually helps. I feel like Maeve would know if Orcus had a twin sister.
Like, what, would we not mention the twin? However, that works hierarchy, Valgs, but maybe he has half siblings who are twins that could also somehow be a part of this sprawling Valg royal hierarchy.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then the only other second problem is that Maeve does banish Orcus and Mantix back through the word gate to their original realm. And the Bone Carver describes himself and Striga and Cochet as falling into Prithian. So for Cochet being Orcus to work, Sarah would have to explain how Orcus got from the Valgrum to Prithian. But we do know Orcus world walks. We know Orcus made word keys. I don't think it's that unreasonable.
Yeah. Or Maeve thought she banished them and they fell somewhere else.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Bryce was like, am I in hell? And they're like, no, you're in Prithian.
Right.
Is Prithian hell? Some people might argue it is.
You're in Valaris and it's lovely and you're welcome for being here.
Yes.
That's so true.
I love that.
Oh, that's fascinating, Christina.
Yes. So am I saying that Cochet is Orcus? No, but I am putting a giant red circle around Orcus on our theory board until Sarah proves otherwise, because I think this is so fun and fascinating.
I love it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's so fun, Christina. I love it.
Good.
Oh my gosh. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up our very first ACOTAR 6 theories episode. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Gosh.
The time has come.
I know. We're so excited.
We've been doing this this is our sixth season. We have done episodes on Sarah's new releases since A Court of Silver Flame. This is wild.
Yeah. I know, it's wild that we're here and doing theories about ACOTAR 6 and 7. We have been waiting for these books, as you all have, for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have more theories and what you need to know and all of the ACOTAR 6, 7 content coming your way. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Cheers and happy reading. Bye.
Well, friends, that wraps up another episode of Flights of Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget to join our book club community on Instagram and TikTok at Flights of Fantasy Podcast, where you can share your thoughts, theories, and favorite moments with us and fellow listeners. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Your support helps us spread the magic of romanticism to even more book lovers. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep reading, and remember, every good story deserves to take flight.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Canetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. My friend said this once, and I have adopted it as my own. She goes, I'm not a crunchy mom, but I'm a crispy mom. And I'm like, that is me too. Like, of course, we're going to have our junk food days. But primarily when we're eating inside the house, I am very particular about what I buy and make for my kids. Because sometimes, you know, like, for example, they're going to eat chicken nuggets, right? They're going to eat macaroni and cheese. But I'm trying to find the best possible versions of those. And in order to do that, I use this really great app when I'm grocery shopping. It's called Wise Code. And it's basically an ultra processed food detector. All you do is scan a product to instantly see if it's ultra processed. They go beyond the label. You're able to view nutrition quality and health quality. It makes grocery shopping easy. It helps you make more informed decisions for your family. It's available on the App Store. I love, love, love it. It is exactly what a crispy mom needs. You can download Wise Code, the ultra processed food detector, on the App Store today.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.